بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يؤتي الحكمة من يشاء ومن يؤت الحكمة فقد أوتي خيرا كثيرا. Allah Ta'ala grants wisdom to whomsoever He pleases. The one that has been blessed with wisdom has been given a very great bounty. فَقَدْ أُوْتِيَ خَيْرًا كَثِيرًا. He's been given abundant blessings, abundant good. Irrespective of how great the favors of this life is, but for not a single favor did Allah Ta'ala say that this is a great favor. But as far as wisdom and hikmat is concerned, Allah Ta'ala says the one that has been blessed with wisdom has been granted a great and abundant good is granted. Generally we hear the word hikmat, wisdom, and then we misconstrue the word for diplomacy. Diplomacy or democracy. So we misconstrue the word that how to be crafty, how to be shrewd in a situation and overcome the situation. So that's not the meaning of wisdom. It's not the definition of hikmat. That's craftiness, that's being shrewd. And generally being shrewd and being crafty, it's the work of a woman. Inna kayda kunna azim. The Quran Sharif speaks about the makr and the craftiness. And he says, kayda kunna azim, the craftiness, the shrewdness of woman is very great. Many men fall into the trap because of the approach, because of the type of mannerism and approach that they express. And you fall into it. Little do you realize that it was some plan of this, it was a trick of this. So craftiness is a different thing, and wisdom and intelligence is a different thing totally. Okay. So really, what is the meaning of wisdom? What is the meaning of hikmat? The meaning of hikmat is the right thing at the right time. The right thing at the right time, that is called wisdom, that is called hikmat. If it is the right thing, but at the wrong time, obviously it's wrong. If someone's father died, and half an hour later, you tell him, hey, boy, there's a bri on coming. So bri is right. It's not a haram thing. It's not a thing that is impermissible or makruh. But is that the right time? Not the right time. So the right thing at the right time, that is called wisdom, that is called hikmat. There were few people that had been blessed with this type of wisdom. In the wording of the Quran, that one such person that was being blessed with this wisdom was the daughter of Shu'aib alayhi salam. When Musa alayhi salam had struck the Coptic, and that's the end of that Coptic, he put an end to him, he killed him. So here Musa alayhi salam realized that it was his mistake, his error, that he had fisted him such that the person died. But really it was not a sin. It was not a crime that Musa alayhi salam had committed. He had seen already that the Bani Israel, the Israelite, was an oppressed class. And to come to the rescue of the oppressed, that's the work of the Anbiya. Anbiya, wherever you see them, they at the service, they at the help, they at the rescue of the people that are underprivileged. They don't have the means, they don't have the amenities, and the Anbiya alayhim salam come to their service. Any situation, any given situation, and you will see the Anbiya alayhim salam, and they will see them with the underprivileged. Ahyini miskina, wa amitni miskina, wa hshurni fi zumratil masakin. Let me live amongst the miskeen, the poor, may die amongst the poor and raise me amongst the poor. So this is a class that the Anbiya alayhi salam themselves had wished to be with, amongst the poor. Okay. And really, we learn a lot of mannerisms and good values living with that class. One is the poor, but that poor that has got nobility. So that poor that has got nobility, you learn a lot with them. So Musa alayhi salam had struck this person, and he had struck him for the preservation of haqq, for the preservation of justice, to preserve justice. Musa alayhi salam had struck him, that the Israelite was being enslaved, he was being killed, he was being downtrodden, and over and above, this Coptic has got the bit over him. So in coming to the defense of justice, Musa alayhi salam had struck him. So that was the niyat, to defend the cause of justice. But taqdeer had it its way that this person had died. Now look at the reasoning and the thinking of the Nabi. Immediately this happened, and he says, Rabbi inni zalamtu nafsi. He doesn't come to justify. He doesn't come to endorse and justify. Rather he says, Rabbi inni zalamtu nafsi. I have wronged myself. He could have said, oh Allah Ta'ala, you know, I came out for the cause of justice, to defend the cause of justice. So Allah Ta'ala, you bless me now because I've done what I've done to defend the cause of justice. So the Nabi will not look at that at a situation in that way. He will see that in this situation, is there a 1% possibility of a wrong, of a miscalculation, and he will take it for himself on that end. For others, he may cover up. For others, the Nabi will cover up. But for his own personal self, then he will take that. In any situation, he will take and he will prefer that possibility, that element of a mistake. And he says, no, Rabbi inni zalamtu nafsi. I have wronged myself. However, Musa alayhi salam realized now that he had to leave this place because he is being pursued. Ja'a rajulun min aqsal madinati yasa. He's been informed that the council is having mashwara against Musa alayhi salam to kill him, to crucify him. Liyaqtuluk. That's what has happened. And they found the murderer. And as they found the person that is guilty of the killing, so they want to catch him and kill him. Musa alayhi salam escaped. Comes up to Madian. And he sees that amongst the crowd there are two girls. And the girls are keeping their flocks away from the rest of the flocks. There's flocks of people all around. So they're herding their flocks away. The Zudan. Qala ma khatbukuma. Now, Musa alayhi salam can see that this woman have a problem. They have come here to this water place, to this well, to water the animals. But they aren't watering the animals. They've got some problem perhaps. What is the problem? Why aren't they watering? And they're just keeping the flocks away. So it is a natural property in a Nabi to help out, to assist, to come to the cause of justice. Anyway, he is, that's natural. Like how you feel, it's natural to quench your thirst. Right? You're feeling thirsty and you go and quench your thirst. It's natural for you. It's natural if you are pressed, then you go and relieve yourself. Don't you relieve yourself? You go and relieve yourself when you are pressed. It's natural. So to help out and to defend the cause of justice is the property, is the nature of a Nabi. So he saw these girls, and he saw them in this pitiable condition. So he went up. Ma khatbukum, what's your problem? La nasqi hatta yusdira ri'a. It's not our way to feed our flocks with water until the rest of the shepherd have provided water to their flocks and they have turned away. Then only do we feed and provide water for our animals. So obviously, a question would come into the mind of Musa al-Islam, that then what's your father doing? Or what's your brother doing? Doesn't he attend to the flock? So they gave an answer, وَأَبُونَا شَيْخٌ كَبِيرٌ, that our father is extremely old, he can't attend to this. So the house has to continue, the fires of the house have to burn, we need to run the house, and we are in a pitiable condition, we can't do this. Right? Or we don't wish to get out of the house. But what do we do? Otherwise, there's no other reason for these girls to say, Abuna Shaykhun Kabir. Why did they say that our father is extremely old? They excused themselves that we were not supposed to be getting out of the home for business reasons, etc. But then we need to get the fires of the house burning and going. So for that, in a state of desperation, we are leaving the house. Not in a state of happiness and taking a stroll in the bazaar or the mall, but rather in a state of desperation, we have left the home. What do we do? The house has to be going. We need to continue with the house. What do we do? We're in a state of desperation. Our father is extremely old. He can't do the errand. So we have to do this errand. We have to keep him alive, look after the house, look after the family. We don't have brothers to do this. So what do we do? وَأَبُونَا شَيْخٌ كَبِيرٌ So Musa alayhi salam sees the pitiable condition and plight. He provides them with water. And he understands that they're coming with a background of nobility. When they spoke like this, they didn't venture to go to Musa alayhi salam because of their bashfulness and their modesty. Rather, Musa alayhi salam came up to them. Musa alayhi salam is observing their modesty, their bashful nature, and he understands that they're coming from some background of nobility. Musa alayhi salam is finished with them, and they take their flocks. They relate the entire incident to their father, and they come, one of them comes, and comes again bashfully. إِحْدَاهُمَا تَمْشِي عَلَى اسْتِحْيَا See, the Quran Sharif is speaking about the modest element in their lives. The Quran Sharif could have said, one of them came. جَاءَتْ إِحْدَاهُمَا But then the Quran Sharif says, جَاءَتْ إِحْدَاهُمَا تَمْشِي عَلَى اسْتِحْيَا In praise of these girls. That they came with modesty. They came bashful. So in the first verse, the Quran is praising them. And in the second verse, again, the Quran Sharif is praising these girls. جَاءَتْ إِحْدَاهُمَا تَمْشِي عَلَى اسْتِحْيَا And there the Quran Sharif is speaking about them, that they aren't allowing their flocks to mix up with the rest of the crowd. They don't want to interact, they don't want to mix up with the crowd. The crowd is completely gone, everything is finished, and the leftover water that's around, they will use up that water, and they'll be quite content with that. They could have got in, right, and they could have got good sweet water. But now they prefer to give the leftover water through the animals and deprive their flocks of the good sweet water, just in keeping and preserving their modesty. Can you see how this thing is playing up? Right. Look in the tafsir, you'll find the same thing exactly I'm saying you. In preservation of their modesty, they prefer to go that additional line, that additional mile. That if you want to go in this route, then that means it's a devastation, it's a destruction of our modesty. The fabric of modesty that Allah has kept in us like a jewel, we are destroying that. So we don't want to go that way. We don't want to go that way. So in two verses, Allah Ta'ala praises these girls. جَاءَتْ إِحْدَاهُمَا تَمْشِي عَلَى اسْتِحْيَا قَالَ إِنَّ أَبِي يَدْعُوكَ Now, Musa alayhi salam is getting more and more impressed that they're coming from a background of nobility. Father is calling. He wants to reward you for the good that you have done. You have provided for them, so he wants to reward you. It's a way of the Anbiya alayhi salam that they are ever appreciative. يَقْبَلُ الْهَدِيَّةَ وَيُثِيبُ عَلَيْهَا Rasulullah SAW would accept a gift and also return the gift. If someone has given a gift, then he would return the gift as well. That's amongst the alamat of nubuwwat, the symbols of a Nabi, of Rasulullah SAW, that he will not accept sadaqah for his personal self, but he will accept hadiyas and he will reward that hadiyah. Someone has given a hadiyah, so he will reward it, he will return it. Yuthibu alayha. Now this girl, now the third point of her modesty. Two elements I've already shown of modesty. Now again the Quran Sharif is speaking about this modesty of this girl. Ya abatis ta'ajir. Father, you know what? Rather employ this person here. You relieve us from venturing out of the house. What is she saying? Ya abatis ta'ajir. See that this modesty is such a jewel of a girl that in this third verse, again the Quran Sharif is praising this woman. Thousands of years have passed, and yet this girl's modesty is being praised, is being respected, is being honored. Ya abati sta'jir. Our father, dear father, you know, save us from us venturing out of the house. Employ this man. He's strong enough. He's capable enough. Let him do the work. It will protect us. It will guard our modesty, our respect, and our honor. See where's the honor of this woman. So many thousands of years have passed, but this is that honor of that woman. This is the dignity of that woman. This is the integrity of the woman, that she has got her name reserved in the Quran Sharif. She's got her name. She's got a name for herself and reserved in the Quran Sharif, in the pages. You can't complete your khatam until you don't praise these girls three times. Three times you don't praise them for their modesty, for their shame, for their honor, for their dignity. Then your Quran Sharif is not khatam. Tarawih is not complete. Ya abati sta'ajir, inna khayra man sta'ajarta al-qawiyyul amin. He's a capable person. He can manage this. He's trustworthy because we saw him right through. When we spoke to him, his sight was focused down. He didn't look at us on the face. See, that woman also observed what you're doing. You're talking casually or you're looking at the face. They also observe all these things here. You look at their face, they say, you know, this person is up to some trick. Now they know that Allah Ta'ala has blessed their face with some charm. And you looking at their face, then your intentions are wrong. So they made it out that this man is a reliable man, he's a trustworthy man, he's not looking at our faces. When they speak about Musa alayhi salam in the presence of the father, Amin, he's an honest man. He's a reliable person. You can rely on him. Because he didn't look at us on the face. And then, when we called him, then he asked us to walk at the back. And he says, we are Anbiya. When we are the Anbiya alayhi salam, then we don't look at women. We are the Jamaat of Anbiya alayhi salam, we don't look at women. So if you want to walk in front, then you're taking your turns, you get a gush of wind, something is going to get exposed, and it will not be the right thing, it won't be the appropriate thing for me. So you walk, you remain at the back, and you guide me through the road from the back. Right, left, whatever. Just give me the guidance from behind, and let me walk the road. You see that? So the girl made it out. She made it out. So they say that one of the intelligent women of the world, the Mufassirin say, that one of amongst the intelligent women of the world, one was the daughter of Hazrat Shu'aib alayhi salam. That she had given such a beautiful suggestion to her father, proposed such a beautiful proposal to the father. Right? See that? And then the father concludes, إِنِّي أُرِيدُ أَنْ أُنْكِيحَكَ إِحْدَى ابْنَتَيَّ هَاتَيْنِ أَلَا أَنْ تَأْجُرَنِي ثَمَانِيَ حِجَجٍ. My intention now is to propose my daughter to you on conditional, that you're going to work for me for 8 years. You're going to graze the sheep. 8 years. You complete 10 from in indik, then this is of your own good. It's an option. Do it, very good. But there's no compulsion. See. Now this girl, she gave such a beautiful suggestion, and where she got landed up? She got landed up in the house of a Nabi. You look at Musa alayhi salam, then they rate him third greatest. They third amongst the, in the galaxy of the Anbiya alayhi salam, they rate him third greatest. First Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, and then Hazrat Musa alayhi salam. So where did she got landed up? Because of this beautiful suggestion, and where did she secure a place for herself? Inna khayra man ista'ajarta al-qawiyyul amin. You see, what we need to understand here, when you are sincere, you are bashful and modest, you are content about yourself, then the rest of it, Allah Ta'ala will do it. Allah Ta'ala gave her a place, and Allah Ta'ala praises her. Then He has exalted her so much Allah Ta'ala exalted her, that He gave her a place in the household of a Nabi. Do you want anything else? A place in a household of a Nabi. Anything else you are wishing for, anything else you are desirous of. So one of the intelligent women, one of the wise women of the world, was the daughter of Hazrat Shu'aib alayhi salam. The second wise person was Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. when he had nominated Umar radiallahu ta'ala as his vicegerent, as his khalifa. People were bringing a lot of stories, man strict like this and he's strong like that, for every simple situation. And he would say, Nabi Sassam, Da'ani Ya Rasulallah, Adribu Unuqa Hadhal Munafiq. Ya Rasulallah, just allow me to slay off the head of this munafiq. So such a man are you going to appoint over us? Don't you fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu used to say that if Allah ta'ala ever were to ask me, then I would say Allah ta'ala that I have appointed the best man that was available. I have appointed the best person that was available on this job. And then people saw it for themselves, the beautiful system of khilafat that Umar radiallahu ta'ala had instituted in his zamana. The world has to recognize it. The world recognizes it. The world acknowledges it. The best man, person that ruled, but he ruled such a magnificent manner, such a beautiful manner. So, the second wise person is Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, who had appointed Umar radiallahu ta'ala to be his vicegerent and to be his khalifa. One is to ask for a position and one is to be appointed. Two different things. When you ask for a position, whether you are asking for it or you are desirous, asking is a verbal thing. Desirous is the heart. Both are wrong. You don't ask for positions and you don't be desirous of positions. I was explaining this hadith, you know, that you don't ask for a position and you don't be desirous. If you ask for the position and that position has been passed on to you because of your requesting it, then you will be assigned. You will be assigned to it. You will have such advisors and such helpers around you that if you forget, they will not remind you. And if you are consulting with them, then they will mislead you. Because they know that if they're going to give a good suggestion, then all the responsibility will be on their heads, you see. So they will mislead you, because they don't want to assume responsibility. They are just there for good times. But if you don't ask for it, nor are you desirous of it, then u'inta alayha, then you will be supported, you will be assisted. Okay. So two situations, whether you ask for it, and whether you aren't desirous for it. No, I'm not desirous of anything. Khilafat or whatever else. I'm not desirous of anything. I don't desire it. And I don't think I'm eligible and capable of handling it. So I assign my entire matter to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He must decide for me. But Umar radiallahu anhu says, Wallah, I didn't desire for this position. Not in secret, not in the open. I never desired this. But this came on to me. Umar radiallahu anhu objected first. When you objected, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu asked, see that sword of mine, just bring it here. For what? You aren't taking instructions from the Amir al-Mu'min, you're supposed to be beheaded. So under coercion, he had to accept it. And under coercion, and with coercion, our own coercion, we go for it. With our own force, we go for it. And here under coercion, desperation is accepting, otherwise his neck will go just now. He's accepting it in such circumstances. I was explaining this hadith. So one student asked, but Yusuf Ali Salam requested for a position. Ij'alni ala khaza'inil ard. Appoint me as the advisor or minister, say minister of food. What do you say? Minister of kya kahenge? You have minister of finance, minister of whatever. Maybe you will call it minister of finance. So appoint me as the minister of finance. I will control this whole system. So Yusuf Ali Salam had requested for a position. For what? To become the finance minister. So if asking for a position was wrong, then why did Yusuf Ali Salam ask for a position? Good question, mashallah. So I told him, see, there's two answers to it. Which answer you want? So no, I want both answers. Alright. One is, you can't compare yourself against Yusuf al-Islam because he's a Nabi. He is divinely appointed and guided. Whatever he's doing, under divine appointment and guidance. Not like us now. Right? Who can guarantee at any time that you are appointed in whatever you are appointed by divine appointment? You can't say that. Yes, you hope that maybe Allah Ta'ala accepts you. You hope that. But it's a Nabi that will say you categorically that it's divine appointment. I have been appointed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to do this and not to do this. You can't say, so no, I hope that Allah accepts me. I hope this is not a trap to destroy me and eliminate me. You hope that. Right? So that's the first answer. And the second answer is, imagine yourself to be in a plane, right? You are a plane going for Hajj or whatever else, Umrah, 400 or 500 passengers, you know, jumbo jet, big, double decker. Huh? And one person has got a cardiac failure, right? There is one heart surgeon in the whole crowd there. So if that heart surgeon, if they announce there, you know, is there any person that can attend to this patient got a heart cardiac failure, and the cardiac surgeon, he knows that it's easy, simply I'll treat this thing here. In 2 days I'll get it right. From the symptoms, well, he can make it out. Person that is specialized, he knows more or less what to do, which buttons to press, and he'll get things right. So, if that cardiac specialist, if he says, no, I am Nachis, I am Hakir, Fakir, I don't know anything, what I know, and you know, I'm such a useless person. He's saying it in humility, but is that the right thing for him to say at that time? Right. And if people learned after this patient died that this person knew about it, but he acted so ignorant, you know, very humble, he humbled himself, will they ever compliment him for it? Will they be pleased? They may sue him. They may fine him for this. Or if they don't, they can't fine him and sue him for it, they will hold a vengeance in their hearts for the rest of their lives. This man could have saved his innocent life. Why did he go this route? So the right thing for that surgeon, for that doctor would have been to offer himself, say, I'm not the best of persons, but I think this is a simple thing, I can handle it, inshallah, by the will of Allah, that I can handle it. So the broader view of this surgeon, this doctor, is that I will save a life. And in order to save the life here, I'll have to offer myself. So Yusuf alayhi salam is looking at it in a broader spectrum. Right. Here I don't see anybody that is capable to take on this position. And if any very capable person is not going to take on this position, it's going to result in a famine which will result in the death of thousands and thousands of people, multitudes of people will die. Because they don't know how to manage funds. Right? One person, they helped him out, send him for Hajj, right? First time in his life, he went for Hajj, right? Poor person from the streets, they picked him up, sent him for Hajj. Pocket money for the 2 weeks, they gave him 20,000 rands. First time in his life, he saw 20,000 rands. Now he's phoning up to South Africa, no money, nobody looking after me. So they made an inquiry, what happened? No, that first night that he went through the hotel, he went for shopping, bought the abayas, state of the art, 5,000 rand, 10,000 rand, and he bust the whole 20,000 rand in one night. So there are those people that don't know how to conduct themselves in wealth. Maybe it's not deliberate, maybe it's not because of wastefulness and extravagance, but they don't just have the idea how to use that wealth, how to budget themselves. We've got 20 days here or 15 days here, and how we need to spread the money out. It will be comfortable for the rest of the time. Even the buyers, whatever he bought, and one, two nights time, everything is finished. Nice morning, there's nobody to look after me. I'm starving. So they are those people. Now Yusuf al-Islam made it out that this is the crowd that I'm working with. They don't know. These grains will be fed to the dogs and the animals, and there'll be thousands and hundreds and thousands of people of Egypt that will be dying out of starvation. Now if I'm not going to offer myself, what is it going to result in? The death of so many good people. So the right thing now is for me to offer myself. So is that the most prudent thing, or is it the prudent thing that Yusuf al-Islam says, no, I am humble, don't know anything, jahil, etc. Nauzubillah. Is that the right thing? To save so many lives. Now when you're in that situation and there is nobody around, There's nobody around, you will have to take the initiative and go in front. Now you're in a masjid for namaz, right? The whole masjid, you know, is full of jahils. They don't know head to toe, they don't know alif to wassalam, they don't know anything. Now, azan is gone and someone has to lead the namaz. And there is an alim that is in the masjid, and he plays like he doesn't know anything, out of humility and out of tawazu, he just says, I don't know anything. Then that person is performing namaz, ulta sida, all upside down namaz is performing. Now, isn't that alim also answerable? When he knew it, alright, he won't say that he is the best person, the most competent person, but in that crowd, there was nobody else, there was no other alternative but to offer yourself. The second most intelligent person, they say, was Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. So we're coming back to the topic here, that we talk of wisdom, you see. And what is the meaning of wisdom? Since the Quran Sharif is praising wisdom, is praising hikmat. مَنْ يُؤْتَ الْحِكْمَةَ فَقَدْ أُوْتِيَ خَيْرًا كَثِيرًا. The one that has been blessed with wisdom, he's been blessed with an abundant good. Not just good, but abundant good. So, wisdom is to do the right thing at the right time. Right thing at the right time, to be able to use your brain and to do the right thing at the right time. If someone is deficient, it can cause destruction. They say, there was one Bhoj Bujjakkar, right? He was like the scientist of the town, philosopher, scientist, doctor, everything of the town. Anything and everything. First man, Bhoj Bujjakkar, ask him. Anyway, this person, Bhoj Bujjakkar, he climbed up one palm tree, 30 meters tall. One person climbed up the tree, 30 meters. Now he doesn't know how to come down. So he's shouting, I can't come down, save me and all that. So the whole town came around. But what happened? No, I climbed up the tree, now I don't know how to get down. So he just called Bhoj Bujjakkar, they even called him. He's a scientist of the town, so he's a philosopher, he's a wise man, he's everything, called him. He's inspecting the situation, trying to calculate and everything. Then he said, get on so long rope, you know. Alright, got the rope, fling it up, ask him to tie it, fasten it around his waist. Fast, tight. Then he's saying, all those people that are around, take your might and pull. Man was nothing. In a few moments, he was kachumar, complete. Literally was kachumar, broken down to pieces, all dead. So they blame Bhoj Bujjakkar, bhai, see what happened to you. What you did here? You destroyed this person here. So Bhoj Bujjakkar says, no. You wrong now. You people mistaken. You missed the point. See, you missed the point. You know, there were hundreds of people that I saved through the same process from the well. See, he's using his hikmat, he's using his brains, but incorrectly, he doesn't know how to use the brain. Right? So when you don't know how to use the brain, then this is not wisdom. To do the right thing, but the right time. Right? To save someone with a string, that is possible. But in this circumstance, was that the right thing? So someone doesn't just have it, and someone has it. He's got little, but he knows how to apply it. That knowledge is little, but he knows exactly that in this circumstance, how should I apply that? How should I apply my mind? Now that is a very great blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You see an ordinary person sometime, Baji Patel from Johannesburg, passed away about 2 years ago, not 2-3 years ago. Not a learned person, a very sincere, good person, good-hearted, very clean-hearted. He'll tell you what he needs to tell you. Only for his age and seniority, people would take him because he passed away at the age of 95, 96. So nobody would mind him saying it. But very clean-hearted, very devoted, dedicated in his work. Not a learned person. Children, all doctors, whatever it is. So he thought, now I need to make an investment for myself. So he had a home in Lanesia and he sold that home. Got the money. And he's thinking to himself, now I need to make it. Making a lot of namaz, asking Allah Ta'ala, making mashwara. Whatever is to your disposal, you are doing all that. Asking Allah Ta'ala, begging Allah Ta'ala, I got this money, I want to do it for you, Allah Ta'ala. You accept it of me, you accept it. Eventually, someone told him, Kim Char Rasta, some place in India, whatever, in Gujarat somewhere, Surat somewhere, Kim Char Rasta, go and put up a masjid there, because that place is got a beautiful traffic. There's a lot of people moving, and there's no masjid. There's no masjid there, so put up a masjid there. That thing appealed to him. All the money he sent, and he put up a masjid with Jamaat facilities, etc., whatever was required, madrasa facilities, Jamaat facilities. Now, you will be shocked if I tell you, at least 16 to 17 hours, that masjid is abad every day. 16 to 17, there's no place in the masjid. Flocking, it's thriving with activity. Thriving with activity. Madrasa is carrying on, tabligh jamaat work is carrying on, namaz is carrying on, and because there's a constant flow of people, the namaz is over, and there's a side adjacent room there, people can constantly use that to read the namaz. Now what happened? Allah Ta'ala granted him that wisdom that you got this little money, invest it here. You invest it here, you'll go right. You see that when Allah Ta'ala guides your money, then how it goes. Otherwise, if he doesn't give that guidance to your money, then there are millions and it just goes waste. Tile and whatever else, beautification, whatever else. Kya mila? Mila to kya mila? You got the tile, you got the whatever else, beautification, ornamental value, what else? Any sawab? You got any akhirat? You died of any good? See? No good. I don't say don't keep your houses neat and all that, but not extravagance, not wasteful. Right? Keep it neat, keep it pleasant. Whatever else we need to do, we do. Moderately, it's kept nice, well kept, etc. No problem in that. But going beyond the limits, beyond the limit, that's not the way of a Muslim. Not the way of the Sahaba Kiram, not the way of the people that came after the Sahaba Kiram, not the way, it's a different way. It's an alien culture. Whoever is doing it, you see. Sometimes what happens is, we say, no, the Arabs can do it, why can't we do it? By, we follow the Arabs in the right reason, not in the wrong reasons. If the Arab is shaving his beard, got a small goatee beard here, we don't say now that it's the Arab doing it, so we must do it. It's wrong. We respect him. We'll respect him because he's speaking the language of the Quran, speaking the language of Rasulullah. We'll respect him in his place. But we will not follow him in the wrong things. Right? If he's watching television, etc., and looking at movies and sports, whatever else, so we're not going to follow him there. Say, no, the Arabs are doing it, so why can't we do it? So for the wrong reasons, we can't. If he's listening to music, I said, the Arabs are listening to music now, so music is halal. No. Yes, we'll follow them, and we'll follow them in the right direction, not in the wrong. So this is a problem area. See, people misjudge, they misuse their brains. They don't use their brains and understanding correctly. Last week, someone asked, his children are all professional people. So his children, whatever else, all professional. So he came and asked, okay, children are complaining that, see that Fazail Amal, it's got a lot of za'if hadith. It's got weak hadith. So now we're getting doubt in this kitab because it's got za'if hadith. And why didn't they put all selected za'if hadith into the kitab? So that we could just practice upon it. All za'if hadith now, we're getting doubts now. It's creating a confusion in our mind. So now I thought he's a common person. He's educated. Worldly wise, he's educated. But dini education, he doesn't have. When he doesn't have the dini education, how to explain to this person? To bring it to his level and explain it to him so he may understand it, he may grasp the concept. And there may not be any doubt in his mind. See, it's important to clear up the minds of the mass. Clear the minds of people that are not ulama, clear their minds. So they understand things and they understand it in true perspective. So whatever they're doing it with firm conviction. So I asked him, I don't mean to run you down and to insult you, but I'm trying to open up a matter. But for my own information, I want to know, do you know what is the meaning of za'if? Says, for a moment he got stunned. I said, no, I don't know the meaning. So I explained to him that these are all technical terms. You know, every science, every field has some technical terms. Right? The word kalima, when it is used in a normal audience, What do people think? La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. But you know, in Arabic I think it's got about 6 or 7 meanings. The word kalima. It's got, it depends now in what context you're using the word.
Right.
The same word kalima is used for La ilaha illallah, right? And kalima literally means one word. When we say word, so one single word is known as one kalima. Then kalima also refers to a sentence. Kalimatan, habibatani ila rahman, thaqilatani fil mizan. So two sentences. And the sentence is referred to kalima. Now, you need to understand first what is the definition of this. If you don't know the definition, then how can you appreciate the implication? You can't understand what's the implication. We just know the literal translation of Zaif. Zaif means weak. So you took it now. It's weak. So it's rejected. Why did they put it into the kitab? See, so that will be the natural thing that will come in your mind. So then I have to lead the argument to make him understand now. See. Then I explained to him, you know what? You know, you heard of Bukhari Sharif? He said, no, who doesn't know? You think I don't know?
All right.
You know Bukhari Sharif and you know Muslim Sharif? Muslim Sharif and Bukhari Sharif combined have got over 200 Zaif hadith. Do you know that? He got even more shocked. That Muslim Sharif and Bukhari Sharif, both combined, have got more than 200 Zaif hadith. Now, if Zaif hadith meant, the meaning of Zaif hadith was, it's rejected, you must throw it out of the window, then I want to ask you, that you consider, and the whole world considers Imam Bukhari, Imam Muslim rahmatullahi alayhi, to be the highest authorities in the science of hadith. Then if it meant that it must be rejected, then why did they include this hadith in their kitabs? Simple question. Right? If it was meant to be rejected, then as great as they were, great luminaries that they were, great personalities as they were, then why did they have the need to include this hadith into their kitabs? Right. Number two, when we talk of Imam Bukhari, then the impression that is created in the mind of the layman is that's the only kitab Imam Bukhari sahab rahmatullahi wrote. Nothing else he wrote. Bukhari Sharif, that's all. Though there are lots of kitab, dozens of kitab that Imam Bukhari sahab rahmatullahi had written, right? One kitab is Al-Adabul Mufrad. And Al-Adabul Mufrad, most of the hadith is Zaif. So if it was meant that Zaif was meant that you must throw it out. You can't practice upon it. Then why did such a great personality prepare a kitab that contained most Zaif hadith? Why did he prepare it? Right. Number three, now let me come further. Let me continue with the argument so that this will sit firmly in your heart. Right. I explained to him, you know, see, in namaz, all of us practice this. What do we practice? Wad'ul yumna ala al-yusra. We fold our hands in namaz, don't we? Some below the navel, some above the navel. But all of us fold the hands. There is no difference of opinion. All of us, whether it is Hanafi, whether Shafi, whether it is Salafi, everybody, whether Imams of the Haram or no Haram, everybody ties the hands. Right? But for your information, do you know, nearly all the Muhaddiseen declare those hadiths of folding the hands as Zaif. Do you know that? But it is an international practice. Everybody practices it. So Mawlana is more confusion now. What do we do? So I told him, now I had to bring all this to you. Now look at the conclusion. I had to bring this whole tartib, this whole sequence. Now look at the conclusion. Now you'll appreciate it. If I didn't put all these facts together. So there is a procedure of practicing a Zaif hadith. Now these experts, like the Sheikh Zakaria Sahib Rahmatullah, they were experts in that science. In their zamana, there were few, just 3-4 people in the whole zamana, in the whole era, that were as expert as their level. Right. So they were expert in the science. So they knew the procedure that has to be adopted, the standard that has to be maintained in practicing a Zaif hadith. So they followed the procedure, they maintained the standard, and they included this hadith in their kitabs. Now, you and myself, we can't do it. Why we can't do it? We're not experts. So when we're not experts, we don't know the procedures. When we don't know the procedures, if we take out a Zayif hadith and any hadith at a random and start practicing it, we will go wrong. But the one that is an expert, he's done it. Imam Bukhari is an expert. Imam Muslim, Rahmatullah, is an expert. He knows the parameters. He knows how to take it along. If he's done it, there's no problem about it. But you do it and I do it. Say, no, Imam Bukhari sabdi, and why can't I do it? That's wrong. So now you understand. So now there was a cheer on the face. Now lightened up. My face brightened up. So I told him, as professional as you are, I don't mean to insult you. But must I tell you where your problem is stemming from? It's a problem, right? But where this problem is stemming from, must I tell you? Don't feel insulted and don't feel disgraced. But it's a problem. I have got the relationship with you, I can tell you openly. So now, please, Muna, do tell me. So your problem is, because you feel that you're educated and professional in one science, therefore you have got the right to access everything else. You are professional, but in one science. In that science, you are professional. So confine yourself to that. Don't go and access and interfere in other sciences. You're going to cause a problem there. You are good, but you are good in that, right? You're a businessman in that, right? You will teach me business. I can't teach you business. You will teach me. Rasulullah himself said, "Antum a'lamu bi umuri dunyakum." Dunyavi matters, how to access and how to do. You people know it better, right? How to run a business, supermarket or whatever else, how to display the stuff, and how to get it selling, and how to do the markup and all that. You will know it better, right? But the laws pertaining to business, you will ask me. How to display it and how to sell the product, you will do that. You will know better about it. Antum a'lamu bi umuri dunyakum. But really, those laws that are regulating business, that you will consult me. So anyway, we are getting at this point, hikmat, right? And wisdom. The right thing, to be blessed with the right thought at the right time. To be blessed with the right thought at the right time. Now, our little minds, we think, hey, there's an investment coming up, some shares, coal mine or something, or ISCO shares are coming up, and everything is halal, all ulama is saying halal, so let me go for it. So I went for it, I put 100 rands. 1 year's time, they announced, came to 20 million rand. Eh? So what do you say? Hey, what an intelligent person. Won't you say that? Eh? The right thing at the right time. But sometimes these situations come up, these opportunities come up, right? Everybody feels saddened. The one that has won, he also feels saddened. And the one that has lost, he also feels saddened, right? The one that has lost, he feels sort of saddened for obvious reason. And the one that has won, he also feels sad. Hey, only 200 rand I put. So this is the chakkar of the dunya, right? The dunya chakkar is like that. It keeps you in a chakkar. When you move like that, when you keep that as your goal, as a yardstick, you're always pareshan, always gloomy. Really, the solution for happiness is contentment, really. And if you put your mind on that, 200 rand I put, what a silly thing I did. I could have only put all my savings I could have put into that. What a great price I would have won. Why are you so stupid? You got the 20 million rand, but no, not enough. You earn nothing, you earn so high, but still not enough. Why? No contentment. But just this element of contentment and brings so much of joy, so much of happiness. MashaAllah, I was worth nothing. Allah Ta'ala inspired me with this. And from where to where? From rags to riches. Right? Allah Ta'ala had elevated me, exalted me. So now you'll feel a feeling of happiness all the time. Otherwise, always sadness, grief. Really, we don't need to punish ourselves like this. You know, to progress in deen, you need to have moral support. You know, you need to have moral. Morale. Your morale must be high. Morale is like the petrol in the car. Without the petrol, you can't move. You need the morale. So, in order to pick up your morale, you need to be thankful, you need to be grateful, and you need to cheer for the favor of Allah. Allah, you have blessed me. Alhamdulillah. I am very grateful. Allah, I couldn't ask for anything more. You gave me more than what I really deserved. So, when your morale is high, you want to move forward. But you killed your morale. When you destroyed your morale, then that energy that was in your body, you have destroyed that body, that energy. Now you can't move forward. So really, we don't require to punish ourselves like this. We need to boost up that morale and look for ways to build up that morale. So this is wisdom. We're talking of wisdom. And وَمَنْ يُؤْتَ الْحِكْمَةَ فَقَدْ أُوْتِيَ خَيْرًا كَثِيرًا. Who has been blessed with wisdom. So he's been given abundant good. Allah Pak says in the Quran, وَلَقَدْ أَعْتَيْنَا لُقْمَانَ الْحِكْمَةَ أَنِشْكُرْ لِلَّهِ. Right? We have bestowed Luqman alayhi salam with wisdom. Right? Luqman alayhi salam was an Abyssinian slave. All the features of a black man, flat nose, cracked feet, right, thick-lipped, Abyssinian hair, everything that was in an Abyssinian, he has the same features. In spite of the fact that he was the nephew of Ayyub alayhi salam, and he had lived until the zaman of Dawood alayhi salam, but he was an Abyssinian slave. But Allah Ta'ala had blessed him with wisdom. So it is not the feature that counts. It is not the looks that count. Many a times in a person, we look at the looks. The looks is a secondary thing. By Allah Ta'ala, really doesn't count at all. Really, not for a second, doesn't count at all. The looks mean nothing. The lineage means nothing. Looks means nothing. And the lineage means nothing. So what is it that counts by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The thing that really counts by Allah ta'ala is the sifat, is the person himself. What qualities he has, sifat. What are the goods that he has? You have that good in you, Allah ta'ala will bless you. You have those sifat, and you have that good in you, Allah ta'ala will bless you. Whether you're black, you're white, you're green, blue, yellow, whatever. But you have those sifat, you have that good qualities within you, Allah ta'ala will bless you. Allah Ta'ala doesn't have any personal relationship with anybody, in a'udhu billah. He doesn't have any vendetta with anybody. Yes, it's sifat that's in a person that qualifies a person for a position. Okay. Whoever brings those sifat, he is blessed. Luqman alayhi salam brought those sifat, Allah Ta'ala blessed him. You bring it, Allah Ta'ala will bless you. So it's a procedure, it's a way. You adopt the way, you adopt the procedure, he's been blessed, you will be blessed. And you avoid that way, and you want that acceptance, then really you're off the mark. You're avoiding that. But you are dreaming of Luqman alayhi salam. Obviously you're off the mark. You want that success and the glory that he enjoyed, then you have to follow the procedure. Allah has created this universe as Darul Asbab, the system. Cause and effect. For everything there's cause and effect. And this is how Allah has planned the system. Day is bright and full of light, and night is full of darkness. And there is a whole asbab, there is a whole sequence, there is a whole procedure for this. For the darkness also there is a procedure, and there is a procedure for the light and bright. Right? Allah Ta'ala wanted, He could have just created light and bright without procedures. Was there anything stopping His Qudrat? Nothing. Allah Ta'ala could have darkened without any procedures. Was there anything stopping? Nothing stops Him. But He's created procedures in place, and He wants those procedures to be followed. Right? You follow those procedures, Allah Ta'ala blesses you, whoever it may be thereafter. But you follow those procedures, Allah Ta'ala will bless you. مَنْ يُؤْتَ الْحِكْمَةَ فَقَدْ أُوْتِيَ خَيْرًا كَثِيرًا وَلَقَدْ أَعْتَيْنَا لُقْمَانَ الْحِكْمَةَ أَنِشْكُرْ لِلَّهِ. What was this wisdom about? This wisdom was, be thankful and grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Be thankful and be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala is summarizing this entire wisdom. Anishkur lillah. Anishkur li wali walidayk. Be thankful to me and your parents. In other words, those mediums that were the medium for your success and your glory, then you be appreciative to them as well. Be appreciative to me that I am the originator. Allah Ta'ala is the originator. So initially, basically, primarily, you have to be thankful to me, you have to be grateful to me. Why? I am origin. I originated everything. I created. So basically, primarily, your allegiance all belong to me. Thereafter, I tell you that I have made all these mediums, whether it's your parents, your tutors, the good people in your life that brought you where you are today. So you'll be thankful to them as well. So the whole summary of wisdom is be grateful, show gratitude. Really, one has got gratitude, he's not short of anything. If he's got really, truly, correctly, he's got the element of gratitude, gratefulness, appreciation in him, you won't find him grumbling. You won't find him squealing. But provided he's got that gratitude in him, how it's supposed to be.
Right.
Wife is preparing food all the time. Every time she's preparing food. One day she slipped up and she didn't prepare the food. Now, person who's got gratitude, what he'll do? He'll say, no, hey, for all the good years of good service he's provided me, you know, really one small thing I was forgetting. My one friend, as a child, used to get reprimanded by his auntie, you know. So anyway, he delivered a talk, Juma talk, and after the talk, the auntie invited him, so he went for the meals and all that. So he enjoyed the meal, fish biryani, whatever it was, he enjoyed it. So he tells his auntie after the meals, you know, auntie, Kala, you know, for all the shouting gave me, today's biryani covered for everything. So you will bring out a positive picture, even from a wrong, from a crooked situation, where you could have complained and all that. You just look at the brighter side, you'll be happy. You'll be cheering. You'll be doing so much of good for yourself. Your morale will be high, bright, good. You'll be positive in life. But I said, oh, this auntie here, this is what she did to me. Yeah. She thought I'm a scrap. I'm a piece of dirt. Huh? Today now she is recognizing me. I don't forget all those days, you know. So what will you do? When you are gloomy, you are negative, you will definitely make your life also a misery. But if you look at life positively, look at it with a cheer, from pains also you will find happiness. In a situation of pain, you look at a brighter thing, brighter side, and you will find your problems are all eliminated, everything is finished. But just look at the brighter side of it. So, look at that wisdom. Anishkur lillah. Be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Anishkur li wa li walidayk. So, one, two mistakes your elders do, or the people that are personal, intimate in your life, they do make a mistake, slip here and there. Don't forget all the good they have done for you. And you just look at that one thing, oh, you use this word against me, he did this to me. And forget all the good that they have done, then really it's not being fair. It's not being right towards them. Forget everything else, and you just count on that wrong or that mistake, that mishap that he has committed, is not right. Really, you know, this shukr is a savior to iman. You got shukr, you are protecting, you have guarded your iman. مَا يَفْعَلُ اللَّهُ بِعَذَابِكُمْ إِن شَكَرْتُمْ. He doesn't want to punish you. If you are grateful, no punishment for you. But show that gratitude. You must express it verbally, through your actions, whichever way, but express it. Express appreciation, gratitude. And each man, when he thinks to himself, he will find the ways and the avenues to appreciate Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If it's a man that has done some good to you, can't you think of ways to express your appreciation? So can't you do the same with Allah ta'ala? Allah ta'ala tawfiq nasib.